על כל ואילם כולי נכווי דרך בנושאי על כל אורץ ביקורך מלאוייך על כל ואילם כולי נכווי דרך בנושאי על כל
Good evening. Thanks for coming. Just a few sponsors on tonight's class. Tonight's class was sponsored by Alan Friedman, and this is in honor of the yahrzeit of his grandfather, Mordechai ben Yitzchak David. May his neshama have a great aliyah, and much, much bracha to you, Alan, and mazel, and parnasa, barachava, and only good tzachen for you and your entire family. Another sponsor was by Rami Dweck, our good friend from La Brea Bagel, in honor of his father's yahrzeit coming up this Shabbos, Chavav Teves, Shimon ben Ramosha, may his neshama, alav hashalom, may his neshama have a great aliyah, channel lots of brachas to you in everything, bebana chaya, mezayna, in all things, begashmi sebaruchnias, thank you so much. And another dedication was by Velvel Tzikman, and this is in honor of his grandmother's yahrzeit, Rachel Bas Repinchas, whose yahrzeit was today on the 21st of Teves. May she have a tremendous aliyah, and only bracha and mazel and all good for your entire family. Another dedication, even though she didn't intend to dedicate, but she gave a dedication in honor, a donation in honor of her mother, and I would like to then dedicate for her mother's yahrzeit. This is by Miriam Fishman, and this is in honor of her mother's yahrzeit, that is Bas Yerachel, Bas Reb Shmuel Hirsch, on the 22nd day of Teves. May her neshama have a very, very, very high aliyah. And may she channel lots of brachas to you and to your family and everything, and only mazel and bracha and the entire Fishman family. The CD this week was dedicated by Ariella Bestamsky, by Shia and Ariella Bestamsky, and this is in honor of their son David Leib's birthday. May he have a shnas bracha natzlacha, an amazing good year, and only good things and prosperity and happiness and very, 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 very mazel and bracha in all aspects. The last dedication, last but not least, was again for the CD this week. This was by my dear friend Reb Shlaima Goldner, and this is in honor of the yahrzeit of the parents of another good friend, part of our morning minyan, Rabbi Shruli Hecht's parents. He has yahrzeit both after his father and mother, both this week. So his father is Rabbi Avram Doiv ben Rabbi Yeshua, whose yahrzeit is on Chav Dalet Teves, which happens to be the yahrzeit also of the Baal HaTanya, in which we teach his teachings all the time. And his mother's yahrzeit is on Liba. His mother's yahrzeit was, I think it was the 20th of Teves. And her name is Liba Bas Rebaruch. May her neshama have a very, very great, actually it was the 21st of Teves. May her neshama have a very great aliyah, and his neshama have a great aliyah. And channel lots of brachas to you, to the Hecht family, and from the overspill, it should spill over to Reb Shlaima, to you, and only brachas and only mazel and thanks to all that have dedicated and continue to help us in spreading a lot of light. Thank you all so much. This week is Parshas Va'era, and generally, you know, the world the Jewish world had a very, very rough week, the past week, a lot of pain and I can sense a certain, you know, you're talking to people, there's a certain weakness and a certain vulnerability that people feel. It's not a good feeling. And we, as we yearn for Mashiach and we wait for better days, generally our vision for humanity and our vision for the future looks bleak. It doesn't look that exciting. Things don't seem to be getting better from day to day in terms of anti-Semitism, in terms of the horrors that we are seeing around us. So I'd like to take this class in a completely different direction and try to, in the midst of such devastation and such carnage, to try to look at, is there hope for humanity? How does Judaism, notwithstanding, I mean, it's really, really an unbelievable miracle, notwithstanding all the horrific suffering and unspeakable trials and tribulations and persecutions and whatnot that the nation, that the Jewish people have endured throughout the exile, as we have been, so to speak, in the homes of our neighbors, in the various different Gentile nations in which so many have not been the nicest hosts to us throughout this long exile. Probable or so understandable that we would lose all hope in the dignity of humanity and on and give up on the world. But yet the Jewish approach to what is going to become of humanity is the most optimistic that there is in all beliefs and all faiths. It's unbelievable what the Jewish people believe in and what is going to be the end state of the human species. Or where is it all going to lead to? What is going to happen with humanity? I mean, and this is not something related to some mystical or abstract or midrashic aspects. We're dealing with the most pragmatic and the most down-to-earth aspect of Yiddishkeit, which is halacha. Halacha is the Torah's guide to actual practical life. So in halacha, what does halacha say about what humanity is going to be like? Where is it heading to? So do we predict or do we see a doomsday, a complete destruction of humanity, which sometimes, sadly, some Jews walk around with such a negative feeling? And again, as we said, you can't blame people because after all, so much that we've endured and so much that we've been suffered, it's hard to keep our eyes sort of focused and understanding that this is a minority, this is not the majority of humankind. We take a look in Maimonides and we take a look at Sefer HaRambam, which I'd like to focus the class on the Rambam this week, because this week was the Rambam's yahrzeit. Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, his yahrzeit was on the 20th of Teves, on Sunday, so it would be appropriate to dedicate this class to the Rambam, on whom it says Mimoisha ad Moshe leikom kemoisha, so Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the subject of the weekly parsha, ad Moshe till Moshe ben Maimon, there was no one who got up like Moshe, a spectacular sage, the greatest of the great of the Jewish people that the Jewish people have. So in the if you take a look at Sefer HaRambam, at the conclusion of his last halacha in this entire Sefer HaRambam, we have a fantastic prediction about humanity, which is stunning. And it says like this, and again, the Rambam is not talking only about the Jewish people. The Rambam is talking about humanity at large, at the world as it will be. So here's the Rambam is discussing the laws of kings and wars, talking about the days of Mashiach. And the Rambam says, "Ubaoise hazman," that in that time, referring to the days of Mashiach, "lo yiasham," there will not be over there lo ra'av, there won't be any hunger, there won't be any famine, "v'lo mochama," there won't be any war, "v'lo kina," there won't be any jealousy, "the tacharus," or any competition, "shahatoiva tia mishpas harbe," that there will be such affluence, there will be such hashpa, so much goodies in the world, v'chala madanim, and all delicacies, "metsuyim ka'afar," are going to be as available as dust, and therefore, "v'lo ye'esek kol la'olam ela ladasas Hashem b'lad," because there is going to be such an availability, such an abundance of everything that we need, So the occupation of the entire world will be to know Hashem. We won't be engaged. Humanity will not be engaged in anything else but the pursuit of knowledge. And which knowledge? The knowledge of God. This is a stunning statement. And then again, now what will it take? And now let's continue, hold it. Lefikach, and therefore Maimonides says, Yiyu chachamim gedolim. It's interesting, in the Rambam that I'm holding in front of me, it seems to be missing a word, because in the other Gersus of Rambam that I remember all the time, it says, Lefikach yiyu Yisrael chachamim gedolim, that the Jewish people will be. For some reason, this Rambam is missing that word. Initially he begins with speaking about the humanity as at large, all that the entire world, all of the entire globe, the global community, universally, what is going to be on every man and woman, boy or girls, teenager, whatever, any person, what is going to be in their minds? The seeking of knowledge, of knowing Hashem. And the Rambam says, and as a result of this, the teachers and the guides for the rest of humanity are going to be the Jewish people, and they're going to be blessed with an extra dosage of knowledge. V'lefikach Yisrael chachamim gedolim, Yidden are going to be very wise. All Jewish people are going to be sages. V'yoydim dvarim astumim, and they're going to know the hidden things, the mysterious things, amukim, the very, very deepest secrets of existence. V'yasigu das boiram, and they're going to apprehend the knowledge of their Creator. What an amazing description that the every Jew is going to be filled with immense, deep knowledge, knowing the deepest things. The Yasigu, they're going to apprehend. Here, this Das Boiram, the knowledge of the Creator. We're talking about a convergence of our consciousness in divine consciousness and knowledge of God. Kefi Koyach Adam, with certain limitations according to the ability of the human being. Because if we go past our ability of the human to all the way completely, then we cease being who we are, human anymore, and then Hashem, then that's not the purpose of creation, that the world should disintegrate. The purpose is that this world should be filled with godly knowledge that has to remain the properties of the world. So the human being has to remain within his properties. That's why it says, according to the limitations or the power of the human. But yet, our expansiveness and our knowledge is just going to be, our knowledge is going to be so vast, unbelievable. Shenemar, and the Rambam concludes, the last words of Rambam, as it says, Kimala Ha'aretz Deyas Hashem, that the earth is going to be filled with knowledge of God, Kimayim Layam Mechasim, like the sea covers, like the water covers the sea. Conclusion of Sefer HaRambam. So here is the Rambam's picture of humanity. Now, what is it going to take? What is it going to take to get to this state? Imagine, take a look at the world now, and the Rambam is saying that the 7 billion people that are living on the planet now, when Mashiach comes, now, are going to live with this knowledge. Now, what? Now, how do we understand this? Does this mean that there has to be an apocalypse and a complete destruction? And, you know, because some people walk around with the ideas that Mashiach has to come and there has to be a nuclear war and a destruction, and then there's just going to be barely some survivors. That's not the Torah view. And it's not, I mean, it's not... It's not what we were told by great tzaddikim. It's not. It goes against, I once gave a whole shir about it, goes against the rachma val kol ma'asav, that Hashem's compassion is on all of his creations and all of his, of course, evil has to be eradicated. And today it's, you know, we talk around the world and we see nice big pockets of evil that for sure have to be destroyed. But the rest of humanity will survive, will be intact. And whatever, the 6-7, whatever billion people that are on the planet will have one obsession and one pursuit, and that is the pursuit to know God, to know Hashem. Now, is that going to happen in a billion years from now? We know that that's not the case. We've made the case many times in earlier classes that we're mamish now, holding by the time, as we call it, the information age. It's not in vain that it's called the information age. Even this that the Rambam says, that v'loya eisek kol ha'olam, that the world won't be preoccupied with anything else but to know Hashem, is something that was impossible to even imagine or dream of years ago. What do you mean you're going to be busy? What's with farming? What's with all the other chores that a person has to do? You say, all people, well, how is the house going to run? Who's going to cook? Who's going to bake? Who's going to do laundry? Who's going to take care of all the other things? making money and everything else that's needed. So there is so much on which we're busy. Take a look at how much time we have to study Torah. But when we take a look at technology and we see where the world is heading, it is already completely within our reach. Give it another 5, 10, 15 years, that all of our homes are going to be smart homes. And they're going to be able to run completely on robotics. They can completely be on technology, in which your refrigerator is going to know exactly what you need. And when the milk is getting low, it's going to order, it's going to send a message through Google Express. But this time Google Express is not going to even have to come as fast as they come now. It's going to come by drone. It's going to drop the milk or other groceries that you need. And then some kind of a robotic entity is going to refrigerate that which needs to be refrigerated. And then when it comes to come to dinner, it's very, 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 very feasible that there is going to be the ability to communicate that from the refrigerator to the oven is not that difficult to manage to create some kind of a conveyor belt that will be able to take whatever it needs to take or whatever kind of a robotic something to enable to serve as a cook and to cook the food. And then the cook is ready and the food is ready. And the same is with laundry, and the same is with everything that we have to be busy with now. People are gonna have a lot of time on their hands. There isn't gonna be anything to do. So what are you gonna do? What are you going to do when there's nothing to do? Okay, after you finish the entertainment. You went, you're ready, you did it ready, what are you gonna do? So there's gonna be so much time. The pursuit is going to be the pursuit of information, knowledge of God, and the world is going to turn to the Jewish people to teach. And we're going to be the teachers. That's why we better start learning now about Hashem. And that's what we will teach. And that's the knowledge. The world will be filled with knowledge of Hashem. So we know we're already standing at the threshold of redemption. And what is it going to take to bring humanity to this state of a quest for knowing God? How far are we from that? And again, so to most people we would think, you know, that this is going to take some kind of a magic. I mean, Mashiach is going to have to come and metamorphosize. He's going to have to rewire the brains of all human beings in order to direct people to have this interest or this quest. But it's not that way. Mashiach is not going to radically transform or change or magically fix and flip over our brains. This is going to be, Mashiach is going to coax and going to direct human beings in the right direction. Which means already that by now the world is already at a point where it is interested in truth and it's looking for the MS and looking for knowledge. And if there's only a place where they know they're getting the truth and only the truth and the absolute truth with no apologies, just saying things as it truly is in a very clear and open way, telling the MS and not to be embarrassed with the MS, and the world is ready to hear, and with a little bit of light and a little bit of divine intervention, of course, there is going to be divine intervention. But with a little bit of divine intervention, this magical world that the Rambam is describing is going to be reality. It might happen within a week, 2 weeks, a month, a year, 2 years, whatever, but we're talking not in the far future. Very, very, very close. Very, very, very ready to happen. So this is really, really an uplifting thing after we go through, and all we're hearing is only a barrage of negative news, of more killings, and more brutality, and more carnage. And when we turn around and we see what the Rambam says, we say, take a look what Judaism sees. Look at the bright future, at the painting, how the Rambam paints the state of humanity. A world connected, unified with its creator, a world that has only one desire to know Hashem. Now this is really the subject of this week's parsha. When Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, because this week's parsha is really the parsha of redemption, or the beginning of redemption. We might call Hischalta de Geula, the beginning of redemption. Last week's parsha, we have already the seeds of redemption. The Redeemer is born, Moshe Rabbeinu, Mashiach Hashem, the chosen by God to be the Redeemer of the first Gullus, has been born, and God has communicated with him already and sent him on the Shlichus, gave him already that mission to take the Jewish people out. Moshe Rabbeinu even comes to Pharaoh, to Paro, and he delivers the message, but it fails. He comes back, and not only didn't he gain the freedom of the Jewish people, but quite on the contrary, he only provoked and triggered Paro's anger, and things got worse for the Jewish people, so bad that Moshe Rabbeinu has to come back to God And he cries out in great anguish and in great pain, Lama ra'isa lama zeh, lama shalachtanu, why did you do bad to the people? Why did you send me? So that's last week's parasha. So we have an attempt at redemption, but it doesn't pan out. This week in the parasha, the Eibah Hashem is sending Moshe Rabbeinu a second time, and this time his words begin to take effect on Paro. Paro begins to be brought to his knees by the seven plagues, consecutive plagues that are discussed in this week's parasha. We know that the actual labor, the harsh enslavement stopped immediately as soon as the first Makkah, the blood, Makkah's Dam, as the sages say, that in Rosh Hashanah the Jewish people stopped working, even though the final Geula is only going to take place in next week's Parsha, in Parsha's Boi, which was 6 months later, by Pesach, in the month of Nisan, when they came out of Mitzrayim, and the completion is in Parsha's Beshalach, when the armies of Pharaoh, of Paro, are drowned in the Yamsuf. So this is... So what happens in Parsha? Parsha's Ve'era is really the Parsha of redemption. So we find that God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, in answer to his question, why have you hurt, why have you done bad to my people? The Eibishter says to Moshe Rabbeinu that, in answer, as I want to, you're bothered, you're hurt. It's a cry of anguish, of pain. Moshe doesn't understand, how can there be such suffering, such pain? Eibishter, Hashem, Lama ra'isa, why have you done bad to your people? And Hashem says, please understand me. Please, please, please. Give me the benefit of the doubt. Please, Moshe Rabbeinu, understand that I have something so marvelous. I have something so special. I have something so spectacular in store for the Jewish people. Something so amazing. And something that they could not in any way have attained. Any other way, only through the suffering. Believe me, if there would have been another way, it would have been, but there just couldn't be any other way. And what do I have for the Jewish people? L'chein amoyer l'bnei Yisrael, say to the Jewish people, Ani Hashem, I am God. That's the answer. The answer to all the suffering and all the pain is Ani Hashem, that you, the Jewish people, will know, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. And when you know, what does it mean? It means Ani Hashem. You're going to have a relationship with Hashem. And Hashem over here is spelled Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is the tetragrammaton, as Hashem says clearly earlier, that even though he has a relationship with our forefathers, with Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, with Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, with our patriarchs and our matriarchs, and Hashem had an amazing, deep relationship with them, but all of that is considered superficial, it's considered external, it's considered... amateur stuff. Kael Shakai, the name Shakai, the various different names of Hashem, but not my tetragrammaton, not my deeper inner name. No one has known me, but to you, the Bnei Yisrael, to you, the Jewish people who have suffered this terrible exile, I want to reveal to you who I really am. And that's what Hashem continues, and he says, I will take you out. V'itzalti, and I will save you. V'ga'alti, and I will redeem you. V'lakachti yaschem, and I will take you liliyam to be to me for a people. And then v'aviyesi yaschem, and I will bring you to the land that flows milk and honey. And here is the conclusion. Here is the clincher, which goes hand in hand with the Rambam, what we just mentioned from the Rambam. V'yedaitem, and you will know ki ani Hashem, that I am God. The culmination of everything. What is the end goal of everything, of all the miracles? First of all, of the exile, that is all the preparation. And all the great miracles, and all whatever it's going to happen, is for one. And even the giving of the Torah is all to lead to one thing, the Yadaitem, that you will know, Ki Ani Hashem. What does it mean, knowing over here? Knowing means true attachment. When you know somebody, you that's a connection. And the knowing over here, like in Lashon HaKodesh, we know that Yediyah, knowing, means to know, means to be connected to. As we know that a marriage and a union, a marital union between a husband and a wife, is called knowing. He knows her, she knows him, because they know each other in such an intimate, deep way. So that's the idea of Yedaitem Ki Ani Hashem. You will know, as it says by Adam, Adam Yada Es Chava. Right, so that means that he had relations with her, which means he knew her. Knowing Hashem means complete knowledge, complete attachment to Hashem. And that knowledge of Hashem, the yadu, that you're going to know, v'yadaitem ki ani Hashem, and that is redemption. In other words, we look at redemption, we're suffering, we go through so much hardship, so much pain, So we're waiting for the days of Mashiach, so that there won't be any, as the Rambam says, won't be any hunger anymore, there won't be any more dagis aparnasa, the worry of making a living, all the stress and all the anxiety and all that we go through in order just to etch out a little bit of a living for us and our families, which is so difficult, and we want relief from that. Oh, Mashiach is going to come. Rambam says it's going to be abundance, parnasa barachava. We're all going to have livelihood without any problems, without any worries, or that there won't be any more illness. Chas v'shalom, so many yidden that are suffering from terrible illness and pains and aches and pains. So when Mashiach will come, no more headaches, no more stomach aches, no more cancer, chas v'shalom, and no more all the other horrible diseases that have plagued humanity and plagued the world and has afflicted our people, so many Jews with such terrible illnesses. So that's going to be removed. And then, of course, that eventually there won't be any death anymore. Amacha Hashem, that we will live, right? We will live, and even the dead will come back to life, and there won't be any death anymore. Umacha Hashem dima me'al koponim, and Hashem is going to remove all tears from the face of every human being. So it's going to be said. That's why it's good. That's so great about the Yom Yisrael Mashiach, is that all of our troubles will go away. But that's a very immature understanding of Mashiach. Of course, as Maimonides says, as the Rambam tells us, there won't be any rov, and there won't be any war, and there won't be any bloodshed, and there won't be any fear anymore. We won't live in with all the stresses and anxieties that we have. True, all true. But all that is a consequence from something else. It's a consequence from the deep relationship that the human being is going to be in a relationship with Hashem, in a deep union with Hashem, in an absolute connected state. So of course, when you're connected to Hashem, these things won't be anymore. There can't be a shortage. I mean, a person doesn't have parnasa. That means there's a shortage. There is a lack. God is not lacking. Hashem is the source of everything. He has, we say, Kel Shakai, one of the translations of the word Shakai is, Anihu that Ashadai be'alukusi l'chol beria. I have enough in my godly power to support and supply every creature and every being. So when you're connected to Hashem, there is ashiras, there is affluence, there is wealth, because Hashem is wealthy. So when you're connected to Him, of course you're wealthy. There's no lack. And when in connection to Hashem, there's no illness, because Hashem is healthy. Illness comes from disconnect, from separation. When you be connected to Hashem, of course there won't be any illness. When the human being will be connected to God, there won't be any death, because Hashem Elokim Emes Hu Elokim Chayim. Hashem, who is the God, who is God of Emes, He's absolute, He's true. He is the God of life, and therefore Va'atem Advekim B'Hashem Elokeichem. You who cleave to God, to Hashem your God, Chayim Kulchem Ayim. You're all alive. So of course we're going to go on. Hashem lives forever. We will live forever, because there won't be any separation. So the V'yadaitem, the unification, the union. Das means Meloshen Hiskashrus, the knowing of Hashem, and really, really knowing it means totally attached to Him. That is going to make us live forever. And of course there won't be any jealousy, because if there's no lacking, there's no reason for jealousy and competition, and there won't be any war. Because why is the war? The war is because there are factions or beings, people and things that are opposite each other. Fire clashes with water. Fire clashes with water as long as fire is fire and water is water. But by Hashem we say, that Hashem makes peace in the supernal world. So the Chazal say it means that Michoel, who is the very, very, very source of water, from him all water flows. So he's like the root of water. And Gavriel, who's the source of fire. The two of the malachim, two opposite, total diametrically opposed malachim, who wouldn't be able to see, to look eye to eye, yet Hashem unifies them both. Why? Because since He is the source both of fire and of water, so in Him they both can coexist, because He is the same creator who created the fire, created the water. So as long as you have a creation that has gotten frablunjit, so to speak. It's gotten like lost. It's gotten disconnected and went wayward from its source, from its root, from its God, from its source. So then I and you are two opposites. You better get out of my way. But if I see myself as connected and as a part of, and even as an expression of the art of the design of my Creator, and just like He created me, He created you, and both of us can be together, like by Mitzrayim, when the fire and the water got together to make Makas Baruch, because they're going b'shlichus of one God.
So Hashem is the source of all. He unifies, he encompasses, he synthesizes and harmonizes all conflicts and all opposites. So of course, when we are going to be, and when all of humanity is going to be attached to Hashem, there will not be any more bloodshed. There won't be any more war. So this is all a consequence, but the root of it all is Yediyas Hashem, knowing Hashem. Interesting. So there you go, the parsha and the conclusion of Rambam are the same. It's interesting that we know that the end of a sefer is always connected to the beginning. In Balashan, I think of Sefer Yetzirah. No, it's Tchilasan b'Seifan v'Seifan b'Tchilasan. The beginning is wedged in the end, and the edge is wedged in the beginning. So let's take a look at the beginning of Rambam. And here we see also, the Rambam opens up his book. The first halacha, we spoke before the last halacha, and here is the first halacha in Sefer Mishneh Torah, Sefer Hayad, Yad HaChazaka from the Rambam. The Rambam begins Perik Rishon in Hilchis Yesoidei HaTorah, of the fundamentals of Torah. And he says like this in Halacha Aleph Yesoid HaYesoidois, the foundation of all foundations. V'amud HaChachmas, and the pillar of all wisdom, Leida, it is to know, Sheyesha Matzu Rishon. We need to know that there is a primordial being, a being, an existence that's first, that's primal, that's before everything else. So there is a being. He's invisible. We can't see him, but he is the source. He exists. V'humamtzi kol hanimtza. And he brings forth everything that exists. What does it mean? You believe in God? But here we're not talking about believing. We're talking about knowing. And the Rambam emphasizes leida, to know. And what's the mitzvah of knowing? You have to know what? That there is a God. What does it mean to know God? No, knowing God means that there is a being who is the source for all other existence. He is the first being, and he is the cause for everything else to exist. V'chol hanimtzayim and shemayim v'aretz, and everything that exists from heaven to earth. Uma b'neim, and everything that exists between heaven and earth, which means every, all of existence, the sum totality of all of existence. Lo nimtzu, doesn't exist, cannot be in existence, ella from any other place, ma mitas imatzai, only from the truth of his existence. Because he is from his truth, from his existence, from his beingness, emerges all other beings, all other existence. Okay? Then the Rambam continues with a few halachas, describing more about the existence of this being, which is Hashem. And then he says in Halacha Vav, the Yediyah is Davazah, and knowing this thing, mitzvah saseh, it's a mitzvah, it's a positive mitzvah, shenemar, anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I am God, your God. This is a mitzvah. This is the mitzvah of the Torah, to know Hashem. It's the first of the Ten Commandments. Meaning, the Rambam is learning that anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I am God, your God, which we're going to soon learn in Parshas Yisro, when God comes down and gives us the Ten Commandments. It's not just information, because you can read it. You say, what's the commandment? Hashem is not commanding anything in the first commandment. He's just telling us a fact. I am God, you're God. Yeah, but it's a commandment. What's the commandment? It can't be the faith, like the Abarbanel says. It can't be the faith that God is, that there is a God, because you can't command faith. Either I believe or you don't believe. A faith is not something that is within the realm of commendability. Either a person believes or he doesn't believe. Another thing is, if you don't believe that there is a God, who is commanding you? You're listening, there's someone commanding you. God commands you to believe in it. But if I don't believe, then I don't have anybody that's, so what's the force? What's compelling the belief? Oh, so therefore the Abarbanel learns. That's why we have to say, since Anoichi Hashem Elokecha is a mitzvah, what's the mitzvah? It means, after you believe already, where do you believe? Because that's just, belief doesn't mean knowing. Belief is a deep conviction, which we spoke about in other classes, where it comes from. I'm not going to get into that right now. Belief is a conviction, an absolute conviction, which doesn't have to necessarily be logical. It's not something that you know in your mind. You know it in your guts. You know it in your very fiber of your very existence. You know, that's your emunah. Now the Eibishter commands us, use your cup. Apply your brain. Think about it. Think about the Eibishter. Some people will live as Jews all their lives and very observant and very involved in mitzvah. They haven't given God 2 minutes of thought. It's so sad. It's horrible. And I see it quite often. I mean, it's a terrible thing. We have people that are super religious, super involved, but the Eibishter is not a reality in their life. There is Torah, but there's no Eibishter. Of course, the Torah comes from the Eibishter. And if there's a Dvar Torah, that there's a Dvar Torah that has the Eibishter inside of it. But to really think, what does it mean? There is a God. I'm not talking about philosophy to prove the existence of God. Just to think, what does it mean? There is a God who is the essence of all existence. That's what the Rambam is saying, the source of all beingness. And they're interesting. The Rambam says that this is the foundation. This is the root. This is the source. This is the where Yiddishkeit begins. This is the pillar of all pillars. Or the way the Rambam calls it, it's the pillar of wisdom. It's the foundation of all foundations, is this knowledge, the knowledge of Hashem and knowing Hashem. Knowing means mamash sensing it in your mind. As you explore it and you think about it. I think about it, and the Rambam says that that's the sum total conclusion of all of Yiddishkeit, all of Halacha, after you finish the entire Sefer, which means after, what is Yiddishkeit, what is 3,500 years so far of observance of all these laws that are going to be described in Sefer Mishneh Torah, where is it going to lead you to? It's going to lead you to lead the world into an age of immense knowledge of Hashem. Which means the Rambam is saying that the beginning of Yiddishkeit and the end of Yiddishkeit is knowing Hashem. And therefore, to have a Judaism that is just tech-based and without godliness to it is losing the forest for the trees. You don't have the greater picture. It's Yiddishkeit is about a relationship with Hashem. Now, Chas v'Shalom, I'm not suggesting that one can say, if it's all about a relationship with Hashem, I have a relationship with Hashem, why do I have to be involved in all the details and sub-details and be so machmer and muktzah and this and all these, so many technical aspects of being a Jew, the little nuances of the minutiae of Jewish life. No. There is no way you can know Hashem, as we're going to see in today's class. The purpose of all of Torah and Mitzvahs and all the details of the details and the sub-details of those details, which we know there's like endless in the Torah, all of that, every halacha and every aspect and every mitzvah and everything you learn in Torah is going to lead you to what? And lead you and lead the whole world and all of and the universe into a state and into a state of being where everybody's going to know Hashem. But we have to understand that it begins with knowing Hashem and it ends with knowing Hashem. It's interesting. So that's where you have the connection between the beginning of the Rambam and the end of Rambam. Both of them talk about knowing of God. There is a Zohar, this idea that the Rambam says that this is the Yesoida Yesoidais, the foundation of all foundations. It's interesting, where did the Rambam take that from? Ma'amud HaChachmas. So it's quite possible that this can be traced to a Zohar of this week's parsha. You know, there's a sefer by Rabbi Reuven Margolyes called Rambam VaHazayar, in which he proves that the Rambam, even though there's questions, some people had questions whether the Rambam was a Kabbalist or not, because he doesn't explicitly state any Kabbalistic ideas. But in this sefer, he proves there are many, many things which the Rambam in his sefer must have taken from the book of Zohar. And over here, this opening of the Rambam, Yesoide, Yesoide, Zvamud HaChachmas, which, by the way, has a very, very Kabbalistic feel to it. The Rambam begins with the acronym of Hashem's name to it. It's an interesting indication. But in addition to that, Mamish, the Rambam seems to quote verbatim what it says in the Zohar. It's just that he's changing it from Aramaic language to Lashon HaKodesh. Take a look at the Zohar this weekend. There's a portion of the Zohar part in Daf Chavav, I think Chav Hei Amid Aleph in the Zohar, V'lakachti Eschem, the portion of Zohar called Re'a Mehemna. It says, V'lakachti Eschem li la'am, Hashem says, I will take you to a people, V'yisi lechem l'likim, V'yedaitem keni Hashem l'keichem, and you will know God. So the Zohar says, Pekud deda kadma d'chol pekudin. This commandment is before all commandments. This is the first of and in order that you don't mistake what it means, it continues, Reishusa kadma d'chol pekudin, the very beginning of all pekudin, lemindalei lekutche b'richu b'klal, to know God in general. In other words, there's a different mitzvah to know Hashem specifically. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Lakenu, Hashem Achad, which is the mitzvah to unify God. But we're talking about a general knowledge of the Eibishter, of Hashem. My bechlala, what does it mean in general? Leminda, to know the ishalita ilah, that there is a supernal ruler, the yuriba in olma, that he is the master of the world. Ubada almin kula, and he created all the worlds. Shemaya vahara, the heavens and the earth, v'chol chelayan, and everybody and all their armies. Now, mamish, this is what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, yisoide, yisoide, zvamuda chochmas, is what the Zohar says over here, reishisi, pekud dedar kadmo, dechol pekudin. This comes before everything, the foundation of everything. And the Rambam says, leida, to know that there is that there is a God, lemindale lekutcha b'riuchu, to know Hashem. The Zohar says, what does it mean to know Hashem? To know that there is a ruler who rules over the world, and he created the heavens, the earth, and everything, and all the hosts, and all their beings. Rambam says exactly that. To know that there is a primordial existence who brings out all of existence, heaven and earth, and everything that's between them. V'do'u b'klala. This is the general knowledge in the Zohar says. So it's quite possible that this idea, yesoida, yesoida, is from Muda Chachmas, is from, taken from the Zohar, Parshas Va'era, which it says, V'yadaitem ki ani Hashem, you will know that I am God. And that is really redemption. As you see from Rambam, he begins that, what is all of Yiddishkeit supposed to lead? Yiddishkeit is supposed to bring progress. Yiddishkeit is not only a program for the Jewish people. Yiddishkeit is a universal program, Torah and mitzvahs. It was given to us to bring about a fixing and a rectification of the world, to lead the world into a state where all of humanity is going to know Hashem. And that is redemption. You come to complete redemption. This knowledge that Ani Hashem comes through the Torah. As we see, Hashem was the answer that Hashem gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. That others didn't have the Torah, and Migolus Mitzrayim was a hachana, was a preparation for Matan Torah, and now I'm going to give them the Torah. Okay. So now we take a look a little bit deeper into the beginning of the Rambam and at the end of the Rambam, and we say an interesting thing. Before we do that, just one moment. The Rambam over here, so again, the Rambam is emphasizing very strongly the mitzvah, the importance of knowing Hashem. First, it's a mitzvah, and in the end of days, he says, that is going to be the natural state of all of creation. That everybody will be filled with knowledge of Hashem. But the Rambam is super ambitious, both in the mitzvah, when he tells us to know Hashem, and also in his prediction of where the world will be after Mashiach comes, that we will be in a state where we will know Hashem. The Rambam says, not only will we know something of the divine, maybe a little glimmer, maybe a little tiny little ray of something like we call Ziv HaShchina, a ray of the Shechina. No. The Rambam says we are a mitzvah to know. And he tells us, Yesoida, Yesoida is Vamuda Chachmas, and as I mentioned earlier, that spells the acronym of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which means that our mitzvah to know God is not just to know something about Hashem. Hashem has many names. He's called Elohim, he's called Shakai, Kael Shakai, like we see emphasized in this week in the Parsha. Hashem says, I appear to the Avos with various different names, but the Rambam says, but Hashem says, even the Avos don't know me as Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Tetragrammaton, that is something about God that's very, very private. You can't know that. That's unknowable to the human being. Yet the Rambam says that's our mitzvah. We're commandment to know God. We're commandment to know the Yudkei Vavkei. He hints it in the beginning. He begins with Yisoide, Yisoide, Yisvamudah Chachamaz. And also in Halacha Vav, he says, Shenemar, how do you know this is a mitzvah? He says, Anoichi Hashem Eloikecha. I am Hashem. Hashem introduces himself to us as the commandment to know him is to know him as Anoichi Hashem. I am Yudkei Vavkei. Whoa, this is a great thing. Not only are we mechuyev to know something about Hashem's, because what's the difference between the Yudke Vavke and the other names? The Yudke Vavke is God as God truly is. And the other names of Hashem are Hashem's names related to his pu'ulais, to his doings, to the deeds that he does, to how he conducts himself. So that's the external aspect. It's God as he is already in a relationship with the world. That's the other names of Hashem, whether it's the name that implies chesed, the name Kael, or it's Hashem's name that implies din, judgment, stern, discipline, and judgment, and the like. God, as we call him, the Almighty. Right? Or various different aspects of Hashem, but not Hashem himself. But we say over here, lei dashei, to know Hashem as he truly is. And that's also emphasized in the end of Rambam. When the Rambam concludes, he says the days of Mashiach, he says, what's the world going to be like? What kind of knowledge is going to fill the universe? Umala adetz deyas Hashem. The world is going to be filled with knowledge of God. Umala adetz deyas Hashem. The pasuk doesn't say umala adetz deyas Elohim. Umala adetz deyas Hashem. The world is going to be filled with knowledge of Hashem. Knowledge of Yudke Vavke. So, which tells us, which is really, 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 really special. But here we find a difference between the beginning of the Rambam and in the end of the Rambam. And again, as we're going to see soon, how this is mamish is something that goes hand in hand with this week's parsha. And that is that in the beginning of the Rambam, first of all, Hashem's name is camouflaged. It's hidden. It's the beginning. Yesoida, Yesoida is Amud HaChachma. It's only to a discerning eye that can notice that the Yudkei Vavkei is over there. Right? Number one. And in the end of the Rambam, Umala Aretz Deyas Hashem, when the world will be filled with knowledge of God, it says Hashem openly. That's number one.
And the second difference we find between the beginning and the end, and that is really the main question that we have over here, is when you say that this is the foundation of Yesod HaYesodos, this is the foundation of all foundations, you're implying two things. Number one, okay, knowledge of God is the foundation of other foundations. So first of all, you're implying that there are other fundamental things. Besides knowing Hashem, there are other fundamentals. Not the only thing that one has to know, or the only knowledge that there is. There's other knowledge. Just the knowledge of Hashem is the foundation of all knowledges, of all foundations, number one. Secondly, by the mere fact that you're calling it a foundation means it's a foundation to something else. There is a structure, whether it's a house, a building, a palace, whatever it is. And this is the foundation to that structure. The same as if you say, Amud HaChachmois, the pillar of wisdom. So first of all, you're implying chachmais. There are many wisdoms, many disciplines, many sciences. This is the pillar of science, of the other sciences, the foundation of the pillar. Pillar is what holds something up. Okay, but in addition to that, a pillar means, again, it's a pillar is a pillar that is holding up another structure. So there is a clear indication that aside for knowledge of God, there is other kind of knowledge. And in general, there is a big creation. There's a bigger world, and there's me and you and everything that's in between us. And all that is something that we experience in a very real way. It's only that what? We have a mitzvah to recognize and to understand that there is a source to our existence. We don't just exist just out of nowhere independently. There is a being that is being us into beingness. Okay, you say this. When we get to the end of the Rambam, it's interesting. The Rambam says, Umala Oretz Deyas Hashem. When the condition of the world, when Mashiach will come, the world is going to be filled with knowledge of Hashem. And the Rambam could have stopped right over here. Amala Aretz Deyas Hashem. That's a proof already. That what? That V'loyeh Esa Kala Olam Kulay, that the occupation of all of humanity is going to be Eladasas Hashem, is going to be to know God. How do you know that the world is going to be busy knowing Hashem? Amala Aretz Deyas Hashem. The world is going to be filled with divine knowledge. It's interesting In Hilchas Tshuva, the Rambam is also talking about the days of Mashiach. He's talking about reward and punishment over there. And he talks about the days of Mashiach. And he says over there too that the world is going to be filled with knowledge of Hashem. And over there he doesn't quote the end of the Pasuk. He brings only the beginning of the Pasuk. Shenemar, as it says, Umala Ares Deyas Hashem. He doesn't bring Kamayim Liyam Machas. But over here, at the conclusion of Sefer Hayad, the Sefer Mishneh Torah, the Rambam says that what? Not only Umala Ares Deyas Hashem, Kamayim Liyam Machas. Okay, not a Bikashi. He's finishing the Pasuk. There's nothing wrong with the end of the pasuk, like the waters cover the sea. But the question over here is, if you think about it, the water covering the sea seems to contradict this is what the Rambam tells us in the beginning of Sefer HaRambam. In the beginning of the Sefer HaRambam, he tells us, as we mentioned earlier, that knowing of God, knowledge of the divine knowledge, and knowing Hashem, is the foundation of other foundations. It's the pillar of other of all wisdom. So, meaning that there is another experience besides knowing Hashem. When you're saying Umala Aretz Deyas Hashem means Kamayim Layam Mechasim, like the waters cover the sea. When you go to the ocean, you go to the beach, look out over the ocean. So if you're looking right underneath your feet, maybe you're going into the shallow waters of the beach, you look down, if it's not murky, if it's not dirty, if it's a nice clean beach, so then you can see the sand. But if you go out on a boat and you go a little further out, you know, maybe 100 yards, 200 yards, 300 yards, right, 1,000 feet down, a mile out into the ocean, look down, there's no matter how clean the water is, you don't see no ocean floor. You take a plane and you're going over the ocean, you're flying for miles and miles, you're going across the Pacific, across the Atlantic. I mean, you have to imagine that there is an ocean floor. But all you see is the ocean completely, completely overbearing to the point that it's the only thing that's there is the mayim. There's nothing else. You don't see no floor. You see, now if we say the world and everything that's in it is compared to the ocean floor, and the knowledge of God is the water that covers the ocean, what does that say? That all of existence is going to be completely submerged to the point of total nullification in knowledge. All we will see wherever we turn is only knowledge. Knowledge of Hashem. Everything is knowledge of God. You don't see the creation. What are we? What am I? What are you? Knowledge of Hashem. Because we're all completely immersed in that knowledge without any vestige of self left over. Wait, how does that fit with what the Rambam says in the beginning? You saw it, especially think about it, a foundation. A foundation is not visible. A foundation is the stability of a home. It's the power that holds the building. You look at a skyscraper. You can marvel at them, which is this huge, amazing structure. Floor after floor after floor, you're looking, you can't even pick your head up so high to see the top of this building. You're looking at this building. So it takes, you
look at the architecture, you look at the way it was built and how beautiful it is. And then you say, wow, it must be a really, really, I wonder how deep the foundation, it must be a solid concrete slab going who knows how deep in order to hold up such an immense structure. So you deduce that, but that's not what you see, that's not what you experience. When people come look at the Statue of Liberty, they're not looking at the foundation, they're looking at the statue. They're looking at the palace. They're looking at, they know, oh, that there must be a foundation. So quite on the contrary, the foundation is invisible. You don't see it. So the beginning of Rambam and the mitzvah to know God, it seems like the mitzvah is to know Hashem as He is, a root for our existence, for our beingness. So 90% of our consciousness is filled with the experience of self, of who we are. We know that what? That there is, like the Rambam says in the beginning, if you look in the Rambam, he says there is a Matsui Rishon, there is a primordial being who is the one who brings forth all existence. So what we see and what we experience is all existence, heaven and earth and everything that's between them. We know that there is a being that's beyond it all. So our primary consciousness and awareness is of worldly consciousness. We know there is a God behind it. The mitzvah is to know and to think about that there is a God behind it all. It didn't just happen out of its own. Ah, but in the end of Rambam, we're talking about the days of Mashiach, a whole different story comes out. Where we suddenly lose all sense of self, of a world, of a creation. All we see is the divine life force that's creating the creation. So which one is it? It's interesting. Just to mention right now, there's a yard site of the Baal HaTanya coming up on this Thursday, Chav Dalet Teves. The Holy Tanya, before he passed away, looked up at the roof. He was already living. He already lived. He already entered the days of Mashiach. He looked at the roof and he told his grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek. He asked him, "What do you see?" He says, "I see the roof. I see the balcony. I see the beam." And his holy grandfather said to him, "I don't see no beam. I see the Dvar Hashem. I see the Word of God that is emanating. That is bringing the beam into existence, and I don't even see the beam. All I see is the words of Hashem that are making the beam." Ah, that's what the Rambam is talking about. In the end of days, the world is going to get lost in the godly power that is creating it. So which one is it? Obviously, that's a difference. Two stages. However, even the first stage, interesting, is also, we say the mitzvah to know Hashem is knowing what's the difference between the first two stages. And we have to say that knowing Hashem is, in both of them, you're knowing the same God. Because you're knowing, we said the mitzvah is to know Yud Kei Vav Kei, to know the Tetragrammaton. Meaning, if you're saying that the mitzvah is to know Hashem's various different faces, Hashem's very different hanhagas, conducts, the way Hashem's behaviors, then you can say that's the difference between now and Yemos HaMashiach. Now we know God's behaviors, but we don't know God. And therefore, because we only know Hashem's behaviors, we don't really know Him, then we are able to sense ourselves and be conscious of our own existence because we're not canceled in God's existence. But when Mashiach comes, we open our eyes and we get to see who Hashem really is. Yud Kei Vav Kei, we get to experience Hashem's true existence. And when we experience His true existence, that leaves no room for anything else to exist because everything is swallowed and totally encompassed in His beingness. And then the Taka, there's no creation anymore. But we can't say that, because as we said earlier, the Rambam tells us that the mitzvah that he tells us to know Hashem right in the beginning of his Sefer is already to know the Yud Kei Vav Kei. So you have to say that in the Yud Kei Vav Kei itself, there is two dimensions. There is the external part of the Tetragrammaton of the Yud Kei Vav Kei, and then there is the internal part of the Yud Kei Vav Kei. And that is the difference between the knowledge of Hashem that is a mitzvah to know Hashem today and the way we're going to experience God after Mashiach comes. And the whole world will know the Yud Kei Vav Kei is already the deeper inner element of the Yud Kei Vav Kei of the Tetragrammaton, which also explains a very powerful, important question this week in the parasha. Because what does Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu? As mentioned earlier, God says to Moshe Rabbeinu that I appear to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with my name Kel Shakai, but my name Yud Kei Vav Kei I have not revealed to him. The Yud Kei Vav Kei that. So the question everybody asks, what do you mean you didn't reveal the Yud Kei Vav Kei? There's so many times that Hashem appeared to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You find Vayomer Hashem, that Hashem spoke to Avram. And it says Yud Kei Vav Kei, doesn't say Kel Shaka. Yes, sometimes it says Ani Kel Shaka. But at other times it says Hashem's name. In Parshas Vayera especially, it says Vayera Elov Hashem, that Hashem appeared to him after the Bris Milah. Clearly that God himself appeared to him, says Hashem's name openly.
So then what does it mean that there is no revelation of the Yud Kei Vav Kei to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov? And the answer to that is, I think I might have mentioned in other classes, that in the Yud Kei Vav Kei itself, there's two levels, as we see in davening. When we daven and we say the 13 attributes of mercy, we say Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham V'chanam. We mention God's name twice, in repetition, consecutively. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham V'chanam. And it's not just a repetition of the same thing. The mention, the repetition of God, of Hashem's name twice, these are two dargois in Hashem's name. And the Zohar says that the first Yud Kei Vav Kei is Havaya Delatata. It's the lower Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's Hashem's name as it is in a much lower form. And the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the second Yud Kei Vav Kei, is Havaya Deli'ela. It's a supernal Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's a much higher Yud Kei Vav Kei. So there is the lower Yud Kei Vav Kei, and then there is the higher Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now this also fits with what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that the reason why it says two times Hashem's name, one of them is before a person sins, and the other one is after a person sins. And we understand that before a person sins, you need divine compassion. Yud Kei Vav Kei is a symbol, is a name of Hashem relating to Hashem's compassion. But when before a person sins, you need a much lesser level of Hashem's pity and compassion. After a person sins, a person has to evoke a much deeper level of God's compassion. So the second Yud Kei Vav Kei is the Yud Kei Vav Kei that the Baal Tshuva, that the penitent reaches for. He's reaching for the deeper Yud Kei Vav Kei. So you see from here that it's not just a repetition. It's two levels in the Yud Kei Vav Kei, in Hashem's name. And that's what it means. But the Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, even though he did appear with the Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's not the MS. It's not Midas Amitias Shali, as Rashi says. It's not the MS of the Yud Kei. It's an external. It's an interpreted Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's not the Yud Kei Vav Kei as it really is. The MS of Yud Kei Vav Kei, the pnimius of it, its truth, that I haven't revealed to them, and that I'm going to reveal to you in Matan Torah. So that's also the difference between what the Rambam talks about in the beginning of the Sefer, the mitzvah to know Hashem, and in the end of the Sefer. Because in the beginning of the Sefer, he's talking about the Jew before he learns Torah. He's just opening up the book of Rambam. He didn't start learning yet Mishneh Torah. So then he's like the others who are still pre-Matan Torah. So he has a mitzvah to know God, and he can know even the Yud Kei Vav Kei, but he can only know the lower Yud Kei Vav Kei. But then eventually, when he will go through the entire Sefer HaRambam, and he will learn all the halachas, and we'll soon see why, he will get to know Hashem intimately and get ready for the time when it will really be Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, when Hashem will totally reveal Himself and we will experience the full power of Yadaitem Ki Ani Hashem, that I am God. To understand this a little better, let's first understand, analyze the difference between all the other names of Hashem and the Yud Kei Vav Kei, and then we can understand the differences between one Yud Kei, between the lower Yud Kei Vav Kei and the higher Yud Kei Vav Kei, the two Shem Havayas, the lower name and the higher name, and also why we can only attain the higher Yud Kei Vav Kei through Torah Mitzvahs. This is really, really an amazing thing. You have to pay attention, but. And the idea is as follows. In Moreh Nevuchim, in the Guide to the Perplexed, the Rambam explains that every name of Hashem, all the names of that God that we find in the Torah, besides Hashem's name, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, are all names of God that are related, I mentioned it earlier, related to Hashem's pe'ulos. They're related to Hashem's actions in relationship to a world. Him as a creator, he conducts himself in very different, in different manners. So it's Hashem's mannerism, the way he's so he's called Shem Kel, as we mentioned earlier, when he's being in kindness mode. When Hashem is being in strictness mode, then he's called Shem Elokim. And the Rambam says that's why we find that the other names are something that Hashem, he says that they're dear b'shutif. Hashem shares those names with us. Meaning he allows, we can use those very names for something other than Hashem. For instance, the name of Elohim means a powerful one. Elohim means might and power. So we see this week that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to make you Elohim Lepare. Nasaticha Elohim Lepare. I made you a master over Pare. How can he say the name Elohim? He made him a god? No. Because since the name Elohim means power, and since Hashem gave power to Moshe, so Moshe can be called Elohim with power. Hashem, of course, is an infinitely higher power, but he's still power. And the same as other names. They could be shared with someone else because it's not something that is specifically designed for God. However, the Rambam says, the name Yud Kei Vav Kei is God as He is divested from all action and all behavior. It's Hashem as He is truly for Himself, and therefore that name cannot be shared with anybody else because it's Hashem's uniqueness in which He is called Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's why it's a name that's utterly unknowable. We don't know that name. And that's the difference. This is Hashem's private self, and this is Hashem's professional self. When he is a professional, like a doctor, who has a private self. Like when you get to know your doctor, you don't know the doctor's private life. You don't know what type of person he is, how he is with his children, with his family. You know him as a professional doctor. Same as a lawyer, the same as... Everybody has a professional self. But then his Yudke Vavke, that's his name that only his dear friends know him, or his children know him. Like friends who knew him from school, who grew up with him, you know him as he truly is. That's Yudke Vavke. But obviously with God, no creature, no limited being can ever know him, because he's infinite, he's outside of any sphere, of any type of existence that we can only imagine. He's completely in a whole different... We can't even use any, there's nothing even we can even use to describe. Okay, so that's Yudke Vavke, okay, higher than everything. Okay, now, but in Yudke Vavke itself, we know, and what do we mean then, that there is the lower Yudke Vavke and the higher Yudke Vavke? So we know in Hashem's name, the name Havaya, the Tetragrammaton, we know that we refer to it, we read it in the Siddur, or in Davening, or in Chumash, but we know that we cannot pronounce it the way it is written. It's written Yudke Vavke, but no one, if you ever went to any shul, no one ever pronounces it that way. No one says Yudke Vavke. In the Beis HaMikdash, on Yom Kippur, or during the time when the Birchas, when the Kohanim benched the people, they would utter the Yudke Vavke. Generally, it's never said. You're not allowed to say it. We learned it last week in the Pasuk. Zeh Shmi La'olam V'zeh Zichri L'Dor V'Dor. God says, even though this is my name, do not read it that way. We pronounce Hashem's name as if it was written Aleph Dalet Nun Yud Adoy, whatever, Nun Yud. Right? Way we pronounce Hashem's name. We do not say Yudke Vavke. So what's the difference between its being written and the way it is pronounced? So the idea is as follows. It's not just, it's the name, this is the way it's written. This represents the way it's written, that's the higher Yudke Vavke. The way we read it is not like you can't read it that way, so we'll make believe it's something else. That's ridiculous. How can you, if it's written Yudke Vavke, how do you read it something else? And the answer is, it's Yudke Vavke on a lower level. There is Yudke Vavke in its essential state, and Yudke Vavke in a lower level. What's the idea? And here's a very rich idea. Please pay, and the idea is like this. We said before, Yudke Vavke is God's private self. And Hashem wants to be in a relationship with us in a very private way. Not just in that we should know his attributes. He wants us to know him. So he does convey to us, he did reveal to us the Yudke Vavke. But when he wants to communicate it, and he wants to transmit that through a form of communication, being that he is transmitting divine reality into human reality, there is as much... something is going to get lost in that translation. Not because of him, because of us, because of our limitations. So when we are going to perceive him, even when we want to perceive him outside of his limitations and forms and descriptions, and we're trying to get an abstract experience of the divine, we will always grab it with some kind of limitation, with the boundaries of our finite minds. So we will place some kind of a definition on Hashem. We can't really see him as he really is. So as it becomes human intelligence, it becomes diminished. Now, when it becomes diminished means, now it's not that it's not God, because then it's futile, and what's the point of even relating to it? No, the Eibishter says, when I'm entering into your world, this is the way you know me. And that's the idea. You know Hashem, and he has some form of an attribute. For instance, you say, we call him Adonai. Adonai means a master. You're not saying much about him, who he is. We don't know much. We know that he's the master of the world. Ribbon Olam, Adna, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Or B'lashon HaChassidus, we say that the name in Chassidus, whenever we talk about the Yud Kevavke in Kabbalist, we refer to him as Shem Havaya, the name Havaya. We say, what does Havaya mean? Havaya is M'lashon Mahave. That God, he is the source of being for the creation. Mahave, he's Mahave the world. He brings the worlds into existence. But that too is already attributic. That too, in some degree, and even though you're not saying anything about him, you're not saying if he's green or blue, purple, yellow, tall, soft, hard, big, small, whatever. You're not saying anything, kind, severe, nothing. All you're saying is that he's the source of beingness, but you're attributing already beingness. Beingness is also something that is our realm, not... Even to say that Hashem exists is already definition. It's just that we can't, what does it mean, not? We can't say he doesn't exist. But existence is already with definition. So that's already called Havaya Delatata. That's the lower Havaya. That's not God's reality as God truly is. Havaya Deliela is the way God knows himself, utterly unknowable. But that's not transmittable. That's not possible to know. The only one way, and that is the Torah. When Hashem gives us the Torah, God gives us his very self. Only through the Torah, only in the Torah, in through the mitzvahs, through our performance of mitzvahs, and through the doing and through the learning of Torah, do we get to encounter God as God is. And God transmits himself as he really is, without any dilution, without any minimizing, without watering it down one tiny, one iota, so that we can get to experience him as he experiences himself in his true, true essence. Unbelievable. Through Torah. Only through Torah, the Yadaitem ki ani Hashem, you're going to know God as God truly is. Why? How is that? How does that work? So let's understand something about the nature of Torah mitzvahs. What is Torah? So we understand, and the way it is understood by most people, the Torah is a way that God formulated an incredible science for life. This is the best way to live. If you want to live your life in the most perfect, wholesome way possible, and you want to rectify yourself and reach the epitome of, you know, of growth and of development, and the world should be in the healthiest, best way possible, well, apply the Torah to your life. And that's 100% true. To keeping a diet of kosher is healthy, and to keeping and living and applying the laws of marital life and Taharas HaMishpach is good for your marriage, and it's and so many books have been written on it, and it's all true. And Torah helps you live and be socially healthy, and all these things. If you live according to the Torah, it directs you. It's a real tikkun olam. It's a real tikkun of the human being, shleimus of the human being. But that's not what it is about. That is the most external, most outer part of the Torah, is that the Torah is fixing the world. The pnimius, the innermost of what the Torah is that the Torah is something about Hashem himself. The Torah is the mitzvahs. Let's talk about the mitzvahs of the Torah. The mitzvahs is Hashem's deepest, most inner pleasure and delight that we have absolutely no idea of what it means. If you think about, let's say, the mitzvah of tefillin. Tefillin is like, we know it, it's a mitzvah. Hashem is commanding us to help us surrender our mind and our heart to Hashem. So we put the tefillin on our head, so we know it's a leather box. But what's tefillin in its essence? Something utterly deep, essential about God's essential character, if you can say character in him, that he is tefillin. The Eibishter is in his deepest, most inner place, in which cannot be communicated or explained any other way, but it is tefillin. That's his essence. You know, a mashal that I was talking to my daughter about this the other day, and she enlightened me with a beautiful example for something like this. She was talking about, we're talking about our art, an artist. So when a person wants to teach you about themselves, and they want to tell you, you know, you can try to express yourself, tell you what your delights are, what your passion, what type of person you are. Okay. But then there is another thing. A person expresses himself through the art. They draw paintings, or whether it's art of music. And when you look at their music, or you hear their thing, and we're talking about where the person is not trying to teach you about who they are. They're just writing, they're just producing art to express themselves. And you read that art, or that you're looking at that art, you get to know, people study art, and you get to know the artist. You get to know the artist, not because the artist tried to explain to you who they are, they just privately express themselves in their art. Torah and mitzvahs is God's art. Here is where the Eibishter put his quintessential soul, who he is and what he is. The Eibishter is Shabbos, the Eibishter is mikveh, the Eibishter is tefillin, the Eibishter is mezuzah. The Eibishter is all the do's and the don'ts, in which he tells us that I'm not. I am not shatness. I'm not wool and linen. I am not milk and meat together. Now, obviously, we're getting a very physical form of this art so that we can apply it into our physical life and integrate it and connect to it. But in essence, this is who God is. And therefore, through Torah and mitzvahs, Hashem is giving himself to us. Mamash giving himself to us. So I was thinking about this, and you know, the other day I read something very fascinating, and that is that the science is trying to figure out if they can break the span, the limitation of human life, if they can expand it. It's amazing. Like, you know, I said earlier that we're living in the days of Mashiach, that if science itself is already saying that it's feasible, that maybe one day we'll be able to have a human being live forever. That's what I read. I mean, and not everything you believe what you read, but this was a serious thing written in a scientific journal, that this is no more outside of the realm of scientists, which we can believe that we can make a person live. Why? Because if we can stop the aging process. So first they're talking about that soon, you know, the age limit of 120, which basically is weird. The Torah says 120, so the age of the human. They say, the 120 is very, the barrier of 120 might be broken very soon. To the point where they were saying that the person that might live 1,000 years to 1,000 years might be alive already today. Meaning the technology is not too far off to be able, which is really amazing. So there's a lot of companies that are investing a lot of money in trying to figure out how to make longevity. People live longer. Okay. And if, again, this goes hands in hands with the Mashiach, the world, because the world itself rectifies itself. Okay, I'm not going to get into that right now. But one of these, actually, this is a, so there's different companies doing this, and different billionaires that are investing money in this. People. So one of them is a Russian guy, I don't know his name, and his investment, because there are different methods on trying how to approach this project. And this guy, his idea is, if you can get a human being, if they can figure out a way of how a person can download, if you can download human consciousness, if you can take yourself and download yourself into a computer, I'm sure they've made some movies about things like this. If you can download your consciousness, not your ideas, your thoughts, but your very consciousness, you with all your persona and all your emotions and feelings and your entire being into something, then even if the body kind of decays and the body disintegrates, you continue to exist because you're not in, like similar to the idea that we know that a neshama continues living even if it's outside the body, because the consciousness, which is the soul, leaves the body and it continues in a bodiless state. But I'm talking about from a scientific perspective, they're talking about downloading consciousness into something. So then even if the body is an enemy, you continue existing. Okay, whether or not how feasible this is possible to do, I'm not going to get into the ethicalness of this and the idea and how this fits with Torah. I'm not going to get into that at all. That's not the idea over here. What I'm trying to apply this idea to Torah and to God. And to say it like this, if you were to try to go to a therapist and to a whatever and try to like express to, or a friend or whatever it is, and you want someone to really empathize with you, you want someone to understand you, and you try to explain to them like why, how you feel and what you feel, you know that it's very limited. They don't really get you. The person, some people more than others, some people can make space for another human being and really hear and listen and really get who you are, and it's great to find a friend like that who hears you and gets you. Right? But even when they get you, you know they're not really getting you the way you get yourself. They're still hearing you from their prism, from their understanding, from their mind, from their experiences. But let's think about this guy who downloads his consciousness. That's a complete transmission, because you took yourself as you are, completely as you are, and you transmitted yourself into this, and that's you. It's a total you. And that is the amazing idea, which I think is what is being said over here, is what Torah is. In Torah, God is downloading himself, his consciousness, into us. Into us, he's expressing himself completely to a point where his consciousness enters into us, in which we can get to experience him as he truly is. And that is crazy, and that comes out, and I was thinking that this is like, Torah is the coolest thing then out there. The Eibishter himself, the being of all beings, he transmits himself into us as a result of, through a mitzvah, through Torah, to the point that we become, it says, you know, there was an old philosophical explanation that said, Ilu Yadaitiv, if I knew God, Hayisiv, I would be him. And therefore, don't try to know Hashem. You can't know it, because if you would know him, you would be him. So Chassidus came along, and Chassidus said, so what? It says, Ili Yadaitiv, if you know him, you will be him. So Chassidus said, so be him. Hashem is, after all, everything. So know him and be him. Become him. And that's going to be the state of Mashiach. When Mashiach comes, all of existence is going to be integrated and assimilated into Hashem, that all of existence is going to be nothing other than him. And that's the idea what the Rambam is talking about. The Rambam is saying like this, in the beginning, when you learn Rambam, before you learn Torah and mitzvahs, before you would tie Torah to your body, to your life, to your psyche, then you are a creation, and we're living in, and therefore limited with all the limitations and all the finitude of a created being. Mamish, limited and finite. And the Eibishter is, and you're trying to know Hashem like you said before, you have a friend, and you want a friend to know you. So you have someone else, but here,
Someone else looking at you as a stranger. But here it's even more, because the gap between you and God is an infinite gap. So what kind of knowledge are you going to have in Hashem? You're only going to have a knowledge of Hashem as Hashem relates to your existence. That's why the Rambam says in the beginning, he says that we have to know Leida, there is a being, Sheyesha Matsui Rishon, there is a primordial being. So first of all, the mere fact that the Rambam calls God Matsui, in existence, is already means that this is not the Eibishter himself. This is, an existence is already similar. We exist, he exists. He is, of course, we understand he's a higher form of existence, but he's already, there's already a commonality, existence. That's already something that's lost in translation. And the fact that we say about Hashem that he's a Matzoi Rishain, Rishain means that he's first, and then when there's a Rishain, there's Sheni. You can count one, two, he's the first being, and afterwards comes a second and a third. And the Rambam continues and say, what do we know about God? That he is the source, v'hu mamtzi kol nimtzi. He brings all of existence into beingness. Which means we're seeing God as the source of our existence and of our being. That's a very limited experience. That's not what the Eibishter is, that he's the source of our existence. But that's the best you can do before you learn Torah. But then when you learn Sefer HaRambam, and you will learn Halacha, which the Halacha is the essence of the will of God, the essence of mitzvahs, and you apply Torah and to your life, as you're learning the Torah, you're experiencing the godliness of Torah. So through this, you're experiencing a divine download. So you will come to a time, that the world will be filled with knowledge of Hashem, that the world is going to be swallowed up in godly revelation to the point that you don't experience anything else but godliness. Because when you feel the, if you're looking at everything from God's perspective, and you're seeing it as He sees it, there is nothing but Him, because His reality is the only reality. It doesn't mean that we are obliterated. It means that our existence becomes integrated, part of the Eibishter's existence. And then we go on living eternally, and there can't be any illness, and there can't be any sickness, and there can't be any problems, because that's only in a created world separated from Hashem. But a world that is totally assimilated in God, which comes from the ultimate knowledge of Hashem. And which knowledge? The knowledge of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And the knowledge of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei as it really is. Not. See, the beginning of Rambam, we're talking about the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei Delatata, the lower Havaya. Havaya as it is. Hashem is translating his MS to us. But in the end of Rambam, we're experiencing the Eibishter as the Eibishter truly is. And that's what's interesting. We said before that one of them is expressed in the way Hashem's name is read, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Adonai, whatever. And then the other one is the way Hashem is, the way it's written, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. So we know that in the Beis HaMikdash, for instance, where they announced God's name, where they announced Hashem's name as it is written, what happened? At the moment when they said the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei as it is, what did it do to all the people? Everybody fell to the floor, they bowed down. And it doesn't say even that they bowed down, it says they fell to their faces. Because that reality, the reality of all realities, cancels all of existence. You can't be a being and just stand there and be a somebody. You can only melt into his emes. And that happened when they were in the Beis HaMikdash. And that is the ultimate state of the human being through the Jewish people. This is something that we assimilate into ourselves through Torah and mitzvahs. And eventually we bring all of humanity into the Yadaitem, Ki Ani Hashem. We bring all the humanity into a Mala Aretz Deyas Hashem, Kamayim Layam Machasim. And the most amazing and exciting thing is that we are ready to enter into that state, Mamish Mamish, now.